What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
We're back. Brand new episode. Did we do one last week?
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Friday, March 26th. Drinking some old Rasputin here, man.
Delicious stout.
I'm gonna try to power through this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been a little under the weather, let's say.
Yeah. Just
no corona, so don't worry, guys.
Yeah, no corona. Speaking of which, I'm getting my second shot Monday.
So I'll be... And the first one went okay for you, right? Like no side effects, no.
Yeah, I had a fever up to 100.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, that's all right. Never mind.
Yeah, I had like pretty bad cold chill, and they say that the second one's worse. So
yeah,
Monday, Tuesday I probably feel like shit.
That's horrible.
Hopefully not.
We just got done watching the press conference for Jake Paul and Ben Askren. Mm-hmm. I just forward through all the way to the good stuff. But we, what'd you think? Thoughts?
I thought Ben Askren was a star in that press conference. I think Jake Paul was kind of trying way too hard to be the heel.
Yeah.
And to be like, to making it seem more than it really is.
Yeah.
It's pretty much an exposition in my mind.
Yeah.
And he's making it seem like it's a legit fight. And he brought a good point. Like, he's calling out these, like, fighters from different, like, from MMA and so on. How come he doesn't call out any fighters from the top 10, top 15?
From boxing. From boxing? Because I think he knows. He knows. It's like, it's different because you're calling out, you know, I think this outside misconception about MMA is that these guys aren't like, oh, they're not the best boxers or whatever, but you know, it's they're specialists. They're specialists in almost everything. They could probably hang with some of these guys, but they're not specialists, but they can hang and they learn and they have to adapt and be well-rounded. So they have to have some boxing skills or at least be able to avoid a boxer's attack, a kickboxer's attack, you know, a karate guy's attack. They just have to be able to implement their game. Like Ben Askren, that's what he did his whole career. He never really had to use his hands. He's not known for his boxing skills because he was more as maybe his defensive and boxing skills, his head movement and just to get in and time guys
and uses
wrestling, which is his specialty. That's his specialty. So it makes sense for Paul to call him out, but I would say why Jake Paul's not calling out boxers is because he knows that he's not that great at boxing and he's still kind of learning, and so he's going to try to call out legitimate athletes that have a name and that have somewhat closer level of boxing to his. So that's why he's calling out MMA guys that specialize in ground fighting.
Yeah.
And so,
and I think, and let's make it clear, I think boxing is a sport of punching and not of fighting. I think it's one aspect of fighting, but fighting for me is using everything.
And it makes sense. Like, these guys are specialists. Like, if you take, you know, the biggest name in MMA, you know, like McGregor or even Khabib, and you put them in a straight up jiu-jitsu match against Gary Tonin or Gordon Ryan or Buchecha or some other, you know,
high level
jiu-jitsu guy. That's where all he does, and his game is adapted just for competitive jiu-jitsu. Then chances are that Khabib's not going to win. I mean, maybe even by points, he'd probably lose. You know, same if you go take a high-level striker in MMA and put him into, like, a specialized, you know, form of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that just do that and only have to do that and built their whole game around it are probably going to excel, which they should.
Because they have the experience.
So it's unique when we get guys in MMA, we get guys that are specialists in something or that are, like, like Israel Adesanya. There's not too many guys that are like Israel's level of like kickboxing, championship level kickboxing, and transition to MMA and adapt their game to it. You know, a lot of guys that are specialists have a hard time adapting their game.
Yeah.
you know.
So. Not just that, but I think it's easy, not easy, but it's kind of unfair that it's always the MMA guys going to the boxing. Like, how can, like, I bet Jake Paul would go to MMA and fight him, fight
Askren. No, the because it, they know.
He'll get smashed.
Yeah, they know. Because even if it was just a straight-up stand-up fight, they know things will have to be different because, you know, the MMA guy will know how to kick their calves and their legs and their head and throw an elbow. And
this should be a compromise. This should be like, you know what I mean? Kickboxing rules.
Yeah, like Jake Paul, even in the stand-up fight with the MMA fighter in his weight class, whatever weight class he would be, maybe a middleweight, would crush him. It wouldn't even be a fair fight.
Like Anderson versus Jake Paul.
Yeah, or like you give him a top 20 guy. You know what I mean? Like, or even like even the lowest level guy in the UFC in middleweight, at the middleweight division that has maybe a stand up, focused style, will have his way with like a Jake Paul. Yeah. Because Jake Paul will not know how to adapt to everything that's coming at him.
Nope.
You know, so he just has to focus on boxing, and there's habits and, you know, footwork and stance and defense and all this stuff that just is only works in boxing. Just like at jiu-jitsu. You take jiu-jitsu and MMA, half of the stuff that they will do in jiu-jitsu, they'll get end up, it opens them up for punches in MMA. So it's like, mm-hmm. You know.
And then when Masvidal had an appearance, that pissed me off. That just makes me hate him even more.
Masvidal is like, he's such a, I don't know, man.
And it sucks. I used to love him, but I can't stand
him. I know. I loved him too, man. He was.
Are you still a fan?
Yeah, I mean, if he just fights, but he's right now he's achieved so much success, and then now he's at the high level that the chances of winning all those fights or looking good is not that great. You know, when you look at the welterweight division. I mean, yeah. The people that he has to even attempt to go through are just straight up killers. So I don't know. It doesn't, because he's obviously a stand up oriented kind of guy.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. I mean, like Ben Askren went and is working with Freddie Roach, and Jake Paul's working with Masvidal. So it's like, I think the Masvidal thing was maybe just to, for fun. Yeah, it was just publicity. They probably sparred a little bit.
Oh, so Freddie Roach is working with Askren?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Dana kind of helped set that up. I think made a call, and Freddie agreed to work with Ben Askren. So.
Wow. Oh, before I forget,
yeah.
GSP is on the first episode of Winter Soldier.
Is he? Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't got a chance to watch that yet, but you know, I heard it's pretty good. Everybody kind of likes it. You're watching the Snyder Cut for DC Justice League.
I'm not done with it yet.
I finished that. We won't go into everything, but you know, I enjoyed it. I think you will too. By the time you're done with it,
yeah.
But I have to get on Winter Soldier. I have to check that out.
Yeah, you know, I need to. After I'm done watching the Snyder Cut, I want to watch the original cut and see.
Because they change things, even the ending, big part of the ending, most of the ending they change.
Now, do you remember the movie when you watched the Snyder Cut?
I remember parts of it, but it was hard to remember what was original, what was not.
Okay.
I heard the director's edition or something like that came out afterwards had like 30 minutes more. And a lot of those 30 minutes are in this Snyder Cut. But 30 minutes doesn't compare to fucking almost 2 hours additional. So
yeah. Awesome.
But, but back to the whole thing. I mean, who do you think, just based on your assessment of the press conference, who would you put money on? Or who would you say is taking the fight more seriously?
Both? Equal?
I mean, I think Jake Paul is taking it.
You think he's taking Ben lightly? Like,
yeah, and I think he's taking it more serious. I think Askren is taking it like how it is, like a not a really real fight, quote unquote, but more like an exhibition.
Yeah, fight. But he knows he's got to
He knows it's a fight, but I'm saying, like, I think he's taking it for how it is.
Yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, because he's got to bring it. I mean, I think he knows now, especially after this, that you to lose against Jake Paul would be bad for your reputation.
Yeah,
I mean, his reputation already took a hit because he had three fights in the UFC, which wiped out his entire entire career.
Yeah,
almost like Jose Aldo against McGregor, just like bam, that one night.
Especially because a lot of people have thought that he lost the Robbie Lawler fight.
Yeah, so he goes. In a lot of people's eyes, 0-3 in the UFC.
Yeah.
You know, so it's already.
But I mean, I do like his chances.
I like his chances too. I think Jake Paul's looking at it as like, I'm going to try to get this guy out in two rounds. And Askren's looking at it like, I'm going to make this guy suffer through eight rounds. So I think those are the two mentalities, I think.
Just because like he's an Olympic wrestler, so he has a mentality.
Yeah. And he's used to it. He's used to fighting guys.
Yeah, he has experience. He's fought the who's who in MMA.
Yeah, and he knows he's fought big guys that try to rush him and try to throw blows at him and try to take his head off.
Yeah.
The only thing is he can't take him down.
No.
That's going to be the hard part. Is, but he can tie him up.
But like he used to use the Rocky method, you know, get him tired and then attack.
Yeah. Yeah, just cover up, get him tired, attack, cover up, get him tired, attack, hold him.
Yeah.
Drag him to the later rounds. Him,
yeah.
And then try to make him quit on the stool, you know? Like
mm-hmm.
that'll be a real way to go.
Yeah, I mean I mean gun to the head, I pick Askren in this fight.
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance. I think it's, you know,
I mean the more I think about it, the more of a chance I gave him.
Like Jake Paul is a big athletic young kid who's been focused just on boxing, not anything else. You know, Ben Askren's, you know, coming off retirement and surgeries and, you know, just said fuck it and took the fight. So it is a bit of a challenge in that sense that even you can't discredit Jake Paul because the guy, the kid is active and he's taking it seriously in boxing.
You know what? I mean, Askren's absence in fighting can be a good thing. I think if he loses, I think that's people will probably put it on that.
Yeah. He
can definitely use that as a scapegoat.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. It looked pretty good. I'll watch it. I'll probably stream it some.
Oh yeah, facet. Definitely gonna stream it. Yeah.
I'm rooting for Ben Askren. I hope he, you know, takes Jake Paul into deep waters and makes him suffer and proves. You know, he is. Whether Ben Askren wants to or not, he is representing MMA. Like, in the public's eyes, you're representing MMA.
Especially since people know you because of MMA.
Yeah, like, and then you're fighting Jake Paul, who is, like, one of the biggest, you know, YouTuber, influencer, you know,
yeah,
trolls, you know, around right now. So you have to, the thing is what it is. Yeah. Ben doesn't think that he's representing all MMA, but you are.
Yeah.
So you better get in there and do your work.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's true.
Don't take this shit serious. You know, you can't get Nate Robinson KO'd in that fight.
Yeah.
That'll be worst case scenario.
Yeah.
This could be a really bad night or a decent night for MMA. Yeah. You know, where like, it's not going to be a great night for MMA. No one gives a fuck, really. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but. You know, you have Frank Mir on the card against Antonio Tarver, who
that's a head scratcher to me. Like, I don't know why Frank Mir is still even fighting. Like,
because he needs, you know, he wants some money, and he's a prize.
I mean, he's a great commentator.
Older prize fighter. That's what it is. Retired. I mean,
it's really sad.
I think Frank Mir is going into it as I probably might lose against this because he's fighting a legit boxer.
Yeah.
You know, Antonio Tarver might, I don't know much about him, but I know the name.
Yeah.
And he's probably been retired for a long time, but, you know, he looks in decent shape and he's a big guy. You know what I mean? So Frank's going to go in there and Frank's not known for his cardio, his chin, or his amazing boxing.
And he's very slow.
And he's slow. I think
it's everything against
them. I think Frank Mir going into the night is just going to ruin everything. It's like, dude, like we already had enough with Ben Askren risking everything on, you know, and putting MMA on the line. Now we have you going in there fucking
putting your head where your nose,
your head where your nose and all this stuff where it doesn't need to be, and then you're going to fucking embarrass MMA before we even get to Askren. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
I can see him getting knocked out.
I can see him getting knocked out too. I'm like,
Bradley TKO.
We're gonna go into the Askren fight like praying that he has a good fight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because Frank Mir just embarrassed us. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like
I didn't know why. Yeah,
because of payday, and I bet you he's not even getting like a quarter of what Askren's getting paid. He's probably getting paid a combination of like maybe two fights of his previous put together.
Yeah,
Askren's getting like the biggest purse of his career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. And if you listen to Frank Mir, he's like already like, oh, I'm just going to go in there and have some fun and, you know, see how it goes and this and this. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you're on the undercard.
Yeah. Hopefully no one watches it.
All right. So as far as news goes, there wasn't a lot, right? Last week or so?
No, I think this weekend's card and Askren fight is a dominating headlines.
Yeah, I can't think of a lot of other stuff that's really been like out in the news. But I mean, I think this weekend you got a lot of things to talk about. You have the return of Sean O'Malley, and he's fighting another guy who's making his return, Thomas Almeida. Sean O'Malley. I mean, he had to have known that he was probably going to get asked about the whole podcast situation and Megan Anderson.
Yeah.
Which he should have just had nothing like, oh, it was what it was. You know, all the best to Megan. But yeah. And left it at that. But he was like, Megan should have just not let words affect her. And, you know, obviously in the podcast, I didn't say anything. And
he just makes me look good in here.
I mean, I'm like, oh, just. Just, I mean, and then all of a sudden, headlines, boom, in the MMA community, really, but
like blaming Megan for it.
Yeah, yeah. Which there was one thing outside of this whole card that runs along the same thing with having to do with people speaking outside of the promotion and on the internet and on YouTube or whatever. With Adesanya, he had a tweet that was directed towards Holland, and saying that I think Holland was calling him out, and then Israel said like, "Oh, I'm gonna rape you," and so that's already cost Adesanya some sponsors.
Mm.
So I think one of the government officials of New Zealand, which I'm sure is probably Adesanya's neighbor because it's not a freaking big place, but they were asked about it, and that person was kind of disapproved of the comments and this and that, and I'm going to have a word with Adesanya and discuss, you know, talk to him about it. Adesanya took the tweet down, and then Adesanya had a sponsorship deal going on, like a commercial or something like that with BMW New Zealand, and they canceled that whole promotion with Adesanya after this tweet.
Shit.
So it's that one tweet which he deleted already, and it was because Holland called him out, already cost, you know, Adesanya some dough. And I'm sure will be talked about this weekend at the press conference for Dana.
I mean, it's crazy to think that. I mean, after you see so many, not only fighters, but so many celebrities,
yeah,
you know, get hit with sponsors because of what they said. Like, you would think that he'd be smart enough not to do or tweet those things. But
yeah,
like every time something like this happens, I always ask myself, like, where are the managers at?
Yeah,
like, where's
that's it? But that's the problem when you have
yes men,
and you have Twitter, and everybody has a voice, and everybody's watching, and when you're like Adesanya, you're the biggest star in your country almost right now, at least in the fight game. A lot of eyeballs are on you. So when you put out a tweet saying like, oh, I'm going to rape you in New Zealand, and you're one of their biggest stars right now, and, you know, you're going to get some backlash in your country because, you know, it's just the way it is right now. And then when you reach a certain level, it's, you know, a lot more eyeballs are on you. The mainstream people are on you. You know what I mean? So,
it's crazy to me how, like, you would, I don't know.
Like, we know it as just like, it's fight talk. It's like two fighters talking shit, but they're talking shit in public forum.
We're living in a different world now.
Yeah, we're living in a different world.
Can't do that shit if you're a public figure.
Yeah, and you kind of still have to watch what you say now, even if it's in the fight game. You gotta be careful, man. Like, it's a different world right now. People are on everybody for everything, and when you reach a certain level, you start to lose money.
Yeah, so. and like you're responsible for what you say. Like, words like rape or anything like that, it's gonna cost you some money.
Mm-hmm. So.
It sucks.
Yeah, so Sean O'Malley, I think his brief comment made the MMA rounds.
Yeah, Sean should just shut the hell up.
Just say,
I don't want to talk about it, or just say anything, but don't put Megan in fault. As much as I hate Megan,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, I love her on her Twitter. It says, a professional fighter, not UFC fighter. Love it. Fucking bitch.
So they have... Who else? Vicente Luque is fighting Tyron Woodley. This is basically Tyron Woodley's. I would say this is his last fight. If he loses, this is his last fight with the UFC.
Yeah.
If he wins, I don't even know where he goes from here. But what do you make of this whole situation with Tyron Woodley? Because he basically has his back up against the wall.
I think it's like you said. It's win or nothing. And then I think. I don't know. It makes me kind of question, you know, what he wants, if he wants to continue to be a fighter, because he has that TMZ gig.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to fight if you have that?
Yeah.
And he was like all like, I know. Like his last fight, he was like, he kept saying like Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. At the press conference.
That holds for every question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that if he feels that strong, like he feels like he's like a, he's like being used by the UFC, or he's like, they don't treat him right, then leave.
I mean, he's always had that, you know, that stance almost his entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a bigger fight because if he was fighting like a top five guy and this was his fourth fight and potentially fourth loss, he would have an argument to say that, like, oh, I'm still fighting the best in the world. You know what I mean? I can fight. I think he'll still get more fights. But he's fighting Vicente Luque, who's, I don't know what he's ranked at, maybe number 9, 10?
Yeah.
So when you can't beat another guy in the top lower part of the 10.
That gives the UFC all the credibility, like all the power. Yeah,
power to say, you're gone, you know?
And, you know, Dana White. And Tyron Woodley have never seen eye to eye.
No,
I think Dana, you know, without admitting it, always wished that Tyron would lost the title a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just wanting Tyron to just fail to let him go.
Yeah,
and I think that if he does lose his fight, I think deservedly, I think he should be released from the UFC.
Yeah. So and then. But Tyron Woodley, it's like, yeah, your back's up against the wall. This is a big fight for him. I think he knows that now. Matchup-wise, I think it's a decent matchup for him. Because Luque is not... He's not like a Burns who's just going to come at him like a tornado.
Yeah.
And he's not like a Usman who's going to just, you know, steamroll or like a Colby Covington and get him in and hold him down and beat him up and... Vicente's a little bit more calculated, so that does give him room to kind of like maybe even have some offense. But
I mean, it all depends on what Tyron Woodley shows up and how he comes in mentally. Because
It's gonna. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Tyron. I don't know. This is. It's a big fight for him.
Yeah,
and they got
back
bumped
against
up
the wall.
They got bumped up to the main card or co-main event. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the title fight right now. Okay, and in the main event for UFC 260, Miocic versus Ngannou. I think the biggest question for this main event is, a lot of people are saying going into this fight that Ngannou has evolved, he's grown, he's a better fighter. We know Miocic is a better fighter, and we've seen it. He's proven it. He's the most winningest heavyweight champ of UFC's whole, you know, tenure. So, is Ngannou better or not? Because I think over his last four fights, he's only fought for under 2 minutes. So,
do we
know enough?
I don't think we do. I think this fight is one guy, being an underdog that people want him to be the champ. And then you got Stipe, who is maybe the most underappreciated champion in UFC history. I think this guy has always fought with a chip on his shoulder. I think people, not necessarily counted him out, but didn't give him the credit that he deserved and the respect that he deserved. And I think in this fight, it reminds you of the first fight where, like, people are kind of picking Francis to come in and be a new champ and, like, giving, kind of overlooking Stipe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Stipe is still the better fighter. And honestly, I don't see this fight playing out any different than it did the first time. I think Stipe is a more well-rounded fighter. He has more tools in his toolbox, and I can see this fight maybe ending the same way, or if not, Stipe beating Francis in a more dominant fashion.
Yeah. I think right now Francis is a slight favorite. And I think basically it's the same. Stipe is another underdog again because he's a unassuming kind of guy.
His personality is bland.
His
fighting style is nothing like spectacular, like mind blowing. He's a smart fighter. Smart
fighter, calculated fighter, does what he needs to do and gets the job.
He's a more well-rounded fighter. He has more tool in his toolbox.
Yeah.
I think he's not like the most exciting fighter, but he's more well-rounded than Francis, and I think this fight will probably end the same way it did the first time, if not better.
Yeah, I think same. I think Francis, he could win at any moment. He's got that power. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins, just because he doesn't need to show us that he can go five rounds because. Yeah. He's got the power, obviously, to end it in the first 30 seconds. So it doesn't matter if – it may not even matter if he's developed his overall game, cardio, any of that stuff, because he could just land one punch on Stipe and there you go.
Lights out.
New champ. So I think it most likely will play out like the first one. I don't think anything's going to be different. I don't think Francis is going to go and, display this whole new improved game and be this ground guy and beat him up and just all around threat. I think he's still the same guy.
Yeah.
So maybe with a little better cardio and experience under his and confidence. Mainly, I think it's just confidence. I don't even think it's experience. Confidence.
Yeah. Because, first time around, it killed Francis' confidence.
Yeah.
Do you remember that fight against Derek Lewis?
Yeah. So he gets beat down by Stipe and then goes fights Derek Lewis and a snoozer. No one's afraid of throwing it. Everybody's afraid to throw something.
Yeah.
And especially Francis. And then he goes on like a 4-5 win streak. And
here we are.
Here we are. So whether he improved or not, I don't know. It may not matter. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show. Thank you guys for watching, listening. We'll be back next week. Brand new episode, MMA Complex at everywhere you can find us, basically on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and iTunes.
Yeah. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us on iTunes. It helps the show get noticed. And big fight. Josh and I will recap next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the fights.